So what we're going to do now, we're going to finish up today. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion. But Pastor Jeff and I are going to team teach. And what you're going to see is a miracle today, because I'm going to speak for about 8 minutes.
Good.
Who said good? Who said good? No, we don't. Our main goal today is that we, he and I, for Pastor Jeff and I, is that we are going to intentionally say, God, thanks for 2017, but we are embracing 2018, not like the New Year's resolution, not something where everything is going to be grand and glorious, but we're embracing 2018 with an expectation. And so as Pastor Jeff and I were talking about today, Isaac, if you could throw Isaiah 43 up real quick. This is the verse that came to my heart, and I'd ask for you to read it out loud with me. Go back to 18 and 19, would you? Okay. Would you read it out loud with me? Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Let's read it together. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
What is interesting, the verses previous to this, Isaiah said, here's what God says, and this is what God said, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. But before Isaiah said that, he referred to God this way, the God who made a way through the mighty waters and through the Exodus, basically where God says, remember, I'm the guy who made a way when the nation was up against the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was behind them, and God parted the Red Sea, and they crossed over on dry ground, and this Israel, who had no military training, they had no military equipment, they were dead in the water, if you will. But what happened was, as God made the way, they got onto dry ground and the sea came back and engulfed the enemies of Israel so that they were saved. This was embedded in the nation's history. They would remind themselves all the time of how God made a way. And what God says, here's what I want you to do. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. And it's not forget like it never happened, or forget like you don't even, you know, it never existed. Forgetfulness in the Bible doesn't mean that. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past is this. Don't stereotype me in what I did yesterday and what I'm doing today.
Right, that's good.
Because he says later, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and I'm going to have streams in the wasteland. So he goes, I made a way in the ocean, but you're not in front of the Red Sea anymore. The circumstances have changed. Life is different. But the same God who made a way back here is going to make a way here, but it's going to look different here than it did back there.
Right.
And one of the challenges, at least I face in my journey with Christ, is that I look to see what God is doing, but I refer it back to what I've seen him do in the past. I've seen great things God has done. And one of the things that helps build my faith is to look back and see what God has done. But here's the thing I think the prophet's trying to tell us, that God is going to make a way, but it's going to look different than it was in the past.
Come on.
And dear family, here's the thing. We're not going to go back to rotary dial phones.
That's right.
Somebody say, thank God. Especially when you had to dial a zero. Remember the zero was like, you know, it took forever, right? Nine, you know, it's like, I'm dead before
there's
I get
some
there.
People in here that have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Right now.
That's exactly right. Do you remember 8-track tapes?
No.
Man, we were cool, right? But so often it's like, man, if we could just go back. You know, I was thinking about when I was a kid on Saturdays, I would go out for 4 to 6 hours, take my BB gun, a dog, and a sack lunch. And I would be gone for 4 to 6 hours, and nobody knew where I was at. Mm. Now, as a parent, if my kid was gone for 4 to 6 hours, and I had no, I would be calling the police, right? Hey, guys, we're not going back.
Right.
But the God who made a way in our grandparents' day, and a God who made a way in our parents' day, That same God is going to make a way today. But don't look back to how he's going to make a way. I'm going to make a way that's different in this generation because this generation's different. The challenges are different. The needs are different. The problems are different. But the same God is going to make a way. So let's not look back and say, God, if you could just once again do this. Like, oh, God, if you could just bring Joe Montana back and my Niners will be a dynasty again. Oh, God, those days are over. Maybe. That God is going to make a way in 2018. He's going to make a way that's unique, but he's going to move. And here's the other thing. The prophet goes on to say from the Lord, hey, could you get the next verses, Isaac? Would you read this out loud with me? The wild animals
honor me.
The jackals and the owls, because I provide
water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I have formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise.
See, God is making a way not just for you individually, but he cares about people and things that no one else cares about. Wild animals and jackals, who gives a rip about them? God does. See, what he was doing was, this wasn't just for the nation of Israel. This is for those that no one cares about. God cares about everybody and everyone. So when he makes a way, it's not just for you. It is for you, but it goes beyond you. And that God cares for everyone, even those that people don't care about or people care for. God's plan in his journey, this new thing he's doing, is that he cares for everybody to be a part of it. And here's what he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? As we talked about when we talked about hope, it's hard to drive a car looking in the rearview mirror. You can't go forward looking back. And when God says, see, I'm doing a new thing, it can be right in front of us. But if I'm looking at it has to look like this, I miss what he's doing right now. Right. See, I am doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? And I want us this year, as we move in, as Pastor Jeff and I were talking about today, is 2017. We're intentionally going, okay, God, 2017, the good, the bad, the wonderful, the ugly. Okay, we don't forget like it never happened, but we're not going to carry that into 2018, and we're going to see the new thing you're doing. We're not going to look back through the rearview mirror. We're going to look forward to what you're doing because it's right now. It's happening right now. God, give us eyes to see. And that's my portion, Pastor Jeff.
Amen. So in an effort to equip you and help one another in this dynamic of transition and change and being able to fully embrace the new thing that God is doing, we've made a couple things available to you. One of them is in your bulletin, and hopefully you grabbed it. If you did not, we have some extra ones. We're going to use this morning, and then we're going to use this again tonight. If you're able to come and join us, I'll explain that in a minute. They're found up here up front or in the back. And then the other thing that I'm just going to reference, and we'll make these available over the next few weeks, but this is a list of scriptures that deal specifically with how to pray when you're just walking through life and things to pray about. So praying for the church to move in power, and there's a verse there. Praying for the peace of the city. Praying for hearts to be opened. One of the things that is required when we minister and when we move is the truth. And the word of God is true. And so to be equipped with the truth when we go forward is already setting us up to not be caught in just what is in the past or be hung up and strapped down by the issues of the past. Because the truth sets us free. So in an effort to be attentive to what God is doing right now and to be intentional about what he wants to do, we have to get rid of the things of the past, and not in such a way, as Pastor Mike mentioned, you just forget about it or you just press it down and bury it and say, you know, I'm never looking back. It's, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you for the lessons learned. Thank you that I don't have to relive that. Thank you that, Lord, you are bigger than that. Thank you that you've redirected, recalibrated my compass to look at life in such a way that I'm able to drive my car, look forward through the windshield and not the rearview mirror. But in order to do that, and because we're all in different stages of life, some of us just need help doing it. And I want to walk you through
just a way in doing that. And you can pick up the verses as you prayer walk your life, as you prayer walk your neighborhood, as we're going to prayer walk the building tonight when we invite you back to be here at 6 p.m. tonight. We're opening up every door in this place. And on the back side of this little card is something called Prayer Walking Valley Christian Center, and just blessing it. And there's different areas in this place that we're just going to send you to. We've got worship planned to be set up in the gym, set up in the lobby, set up in the sanctuary. And we're just going to send you out in such a manner that everything is open. We are here Wednesday night. And if you want to write this verse down and go look it up this week, I'd encourage you to do that. But we'll hit it again on Wednesday night. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 to 23, where Paul tells them, all things are yours in life, in death, in the present, in the future. But the one thing that he leaves out in that verse is the past. Because the past no longer belongs to you and I. It belongs to Jesus, because we no longer have a choice in it. We can't change the past by the choices we make. The only impact we can have with our choice is right here and now, and then what's in the future. So when Paul tells us that all things belong to you, he intentionally leaves out the past, because that does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. So if there's something in your past that you want to change, you have to get into the presence of the Lord and recognize that Jesus is going to change it. He's going to change it in such a way that he's going to unhook the burden of it, the weight of it, the entanglement of despair and depression and anxiety and fear, so that we're not carrying that into our moment choice or our future choices. So what we want to do this morning is just take a moment and realize that some of us, I mean, yesterday is yesterday and it's gone. But others of us, yesterday, years ago, is so much a part of today that I can't even tell you or comprehend what freedom looks like tomorrow. And if that's where you're at this morning, I just want to encourage you to know that God has a better plan and a better place. That this idea of Isaiah 43, of making space in our life to say, Lord, I actually want to taste and see how good you are. I'm inviting you, Lord, today to unhook, untangle, cut off, burn up, destroy the dynamite. You know, how many of you ever know the story of the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote? I mean, how many of you have lived your life as Wile E. Coyote? Feeling like the bomb is always going off in your life. Nothing ever seems to go right. No, you know, Acme, they send us all this stuff. Heaven has sent us all this stuff, but it never goes in our favor. When in reality, we are called to be like the Roadrunner. You know, beep, beep, just always elusive, always evading the traps and the schemes of the enemy. Somehow always overcoming in the midst of actually watching the trap be set and then not getting stuck in it. How many of you want to see change in your life this year to where you go from the circumstances and the realities of the Wile E. Coyote life to the Roadrunner life of zip, 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 you know, and watching, you know, the enemy trap himself. Amen. Come on. I do. I mean, there are areas in my life that I'm contending for today that, Lord, I've looked at the former ways and thought, well, you delivered me then that way. Do it again. And I sit around waiting when in reality, the Lord's going, hey, that's what I did yesterday. Will you let me do a new thing today? Amen. So on this card are a couple areas. And it says, walking in freedom. And the verse is this: for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Meaning, in bondage to that thing that torments, destroys, kills, and steals. Don't work for that system or that belief or that outcome anymore. But know the truth. And know that for freedom, Christ has set you free. And one of the things I'd get you to consider is changing your vocabulary to go, I'm set free from, which is okay, And it's true, I am set free from things like despair, anxiety, financial debts, and turmoil. But there's a principle in the Word of God that says, whatever we behold, we will become. And part of changing this idea of setting us ourselves in a posture to where the past no longer rules over our life, we have to change our terminology, Lord, from I'm set free from to I'm set free for. I'm set free for a greater encounter. I'm set free for as an example. I'm set free for the joy of the Lord. I'm set free for this community. I'm set free for to be an instrument of change. I'm set free for. Because as I behold, I'll become. And I'm setting myself with a posture that says, Lord, show me those things which you have destined for me. Which comes back to knowing the Word and praying the Word. And the kingdom of heaven is an inside-out work. So let kingdom heaven come is a great declaration. But let it do a work in you so that then it can do a work through you. So we're just going to take some time this morning and introduce how this might look in your life and how it looks in my life. And it begins by addressing things that have happened, such as trauma. And I just want to pray for you and then take about 5 more minutes and walk you through this in such a way that I'm believing there might be some things you need to write down on this card and get before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, it's time to deal with this. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for this space that we've made for you to begin to introduce, to begin to recognize, and to begin to walk out the beauty of freedom, the power of your presence, Lord, in us and through us. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that all of our being would be open and receptive to recognize the places that we've entangled ourselves with hurt and sin and all of that flesh of the fruit of the flesh. And that by your grace this morning, Lord, we're going to see things get unhooked, get cut off, things be set new, where alignment all of a sudden means advancement. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you that each and every one of us in this room can hear you, can sense you, can discern the difference between light and darkness. And so we welcome you, Lord, to probe our soul and bring to light these places that you don't want us to carry into or walk with any longer in this next year. Amen. So trauma. Just take a moment and just ask the Lord, Lord, has there been any trauma this year that I have just buried? That I have neglected to address fully? Have there been traumatic circumstances in your life or in the lives of others that have affected your life that you know right now you need help with from the Lord? And as those things start to come to mind, just take a moment and write them down. And some of these are going to overlap because in the midst of trauma, it may have been that you experienced a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, a loss where again, out of your control, something was taken from you or stolen. And because we all process and experience things differently, one person's experience might not be as traumatic to another person's, but nonetheless, the Lord would still come and say, let me have this area. Let me show you my goodness and my great power. Some of you may have lost a job this year and gotten a new one, but you're still carrying some bitterness, some anger. Some of you may have had a loss where you chose to cut it off, end a relationship, end a conversation, And it may have been the right thing to do, but you're still carrying a sense of guilt, a sense of shame. The words of those that don't understand might be like little arrows in your back. And the Lord right now would begin to say, let me pull that out. Let me heal that wound. Let me show you that for freedom, Christ has set you free. Thank you, Lord, that you would bring these things to mind in such a loving manner that there's no condemnation, there's no shame. Some of you might, I just even discern this now, some of you might just have these things just flooding your mind. And when that happens, there's physical manifestations, shortness of breath, sweat on the brow, nervous tics and anxiety and shakes. And I just encourage you, just take a deep breath. Where before you would have said, I don't want to deal with that, Lord. But right now, in this place of peace, you would say, okay, Lord. Help my unbelief. Some of you do this very well every day because you've been well-equipped and well-pastored and well-trained, and you get it. Others of us, this is something new. This is something that we're not familiar with when it comes to just letting the Holy Spirit have His way in our being. And so we're going to continue over the next few weeks just to continue to keep this before us so that, again, it's not just something we address and move on, but Lord, we find the way to help others now. Sickness. Some of you have experienced sickness like never before this year. Sickness can be a cold, a flu, a disease. Some of you have lost work time because of sickness. Sickness to the degree of cancer. That's physical sickness. Some of us have experienced emotional sickness. Things have afflicted us in such a way that we're just sick in our stomach. And it's nothing physical as much as it's just emotional. Bitterness has settled into our gut. Or we hear news again, or we see someone's face, and again, it's just like something is set off in us. That emotional sickness that God doesn't want us to carry. Doesn't want us just to bury and suppress. He actually wants to set us free from so that we can see what we're free for. So sickness, and what we do is we just acknowledge it and just say, Lord, this is not of you, therefore it's not to be of me. And I give it to you. I surrender it to you. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my deliverer. And those are the confessions we make because, again, we're not trying to flush them up and bring them to our attention so that we can just be reminded of it and stare at it. It's so that we can then take it and say, Lord, this is yours. This is yours. I'm counting it all joy. I'm choosing to say, Lord, this past year and the sickness that my family's encountered and the illnesses that have robbed time and money and valuable encounters because of missed opportunities, Lord, I refuse to carry any guilt, any bitterness, any anger. And so this year, Lord, I say that I'm going to see you be a healer like I've never seen you before. I'm choosing today to say, Lord, this past year of sickness, emotionally, physically, spiritually, demonic attack, demonic oppression. Lord, no more in the name of Jesus. Let your word, your sword of truth, cut that off. Sever the weight and the ties and the tethers that keep me bound. You kind of see how this works? I mean, we're just asking the Holy Spirit to bring these to mind so that then we can cut them off. He can have access to these places that we just don't want to shed a light into sometimes because it's hard. It's difficult. Relationships. What type of relational encounters did you have this past year that the Lord would say, I don't want you to be bound or caught up or carry that any longer? Some as far as this, the nature of maybe divorce this past year, separation. All the way to the encounter of maybe new relationships, dating and marriage. And you would think, well, what's so bad about that, Jeff? Well, the reality is that in marriage, we often discover selfishness. And the Lord would say, I want you to have a marriage where you realize the value of sacrifice. And the selfishness that you've experienced this past year, let me have that. Because we definitely don't want to carry that anymore or any longer. Relationships with sons and daughters. Whether they've walked away from the Lord or whether they've walked away from you. And the hurt and the pain. Again, the Lord would want to come and just say, let me have that. Let me be your comforter. Let me be your good father. Let me remind you that I love you. And that I have a better way. And that we would let go of those things so that the Lord can have his way in them. Just a few more, and thank you for just hanging in there with me. Some of us this year, as we reflect, we realize that we have dreams and desires that have gone unfulfilled. And the thing with this issue is that oftentimes, we miss the component of God's timing. Because how many of you know that when you plant a seed, it doesn't immediately bear fruit? And so maybe the Lord did some planting this past year, and yet bitterness and anger and impatience has sprung up because you didn't see the fruit. You didn't see the breakthrough. And so rather than abandon the nurturing of that truth and that place of promise and prosperity, the Lord might want to come back and just say, let's deal with this. Let's water. Let's weed. Let's give space to bring these dreams and desires to fruition. Others of us have to deal with the bitterness that comes when people don't recognize the effort and the time or the calling that's on our lives for certain dreams and aspirations and purposes. Where we expected validation, we didn't get it. Where we expected promotion because of faithfulness and steadfastness, we haven't gotten it. And the Lord would come and say, let me have that. Let me be your validator. Let me be your promoter. Let me be the one that gives you favor and grace. Do not just settle to look upon the workings and the mannerisms and the words of man. But let me be the source of that. Let me be the one that comes and shows you how valuable, how loved, how important you are to me. So, Lord, we thank you that those dreams and desires would be looked at again in such a way that, Lord, I give you these plans and these purposes, these aspirations. Equip me, do a work in me, so that then there can be a work done through me. The last one here, just to reflect on for a moment, and hopefully things have been coming to mind and you've written down some things. But it's the issue of unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is holding on to a past hurt, unwilling to let it go and reconcile it. So you may have had something come to mind in the nature of trauma or sickness or relationship. And you might be willing to say, Lord, have your way in that area. Lord, I trust you with this. I'm looking forward to the freedom and the breakthrough and the breakout that happens. And the Lord would come and say and point out, you need to forgive. You need to let the cord of unforgiveness be severed. You need to recognize that your attachment to the issue is going to keep the Lord from advancing you and I. And the way we sever that attachment is through forgiveness. But when we hold on to unforgiveness, it's almost as if the Lord withholds any movement or any judgment. Because if I'm attached to that person that has betrayed me, wounded me, hurt me, and my God, who is a just God, wants to deal with not just my life, but their life, it's almost as if he would say to me and you, Jeff, until you forgive them, I can't actually have full access to them. And until you forgive them, I actually don't have full access to you. And my heart burdens for you and for many others that I see crying out for breakthrough, crying out for change, crying out for revival. And yet you're struggling with the issue of forgiveness. And I'm not saying it's easy. Jesus taught, how many times do I have to forgive, Lord? You need to keep forgiving until you know the blessing of forgiveness, where there's no more gall, there's no more bitterness. And the greatest expression of that blessing of knowing you're free is that now you're willing to lay down your life for that person. Because that is exactly what Jesus did for you and I. When we are still sinners, when we would betray him and send him to the cross, he had nothing but love. That is when you know you finally have reached that point of, Lord, I have forgiven. Now there's still wisdom, there's still responsibility, but you find that joy flows freely. Peace abounds. And so in the midst of all of this, start with the area of forgiving. Start with the area of recognizing that his love is more than enough. Because as you look at 2017 and set your pace and gaze into 2018, what the Lord would remind all of us is to rejoice always. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always. And so I invite you to keep this card before you. Find yourself over the next few weeks walking through these things, finding freedom. Because what we want to do tonight is invite you back at 6. Because as the Lord does a work in us, we're then set up to be sent out as the ambassadors, the sons and daughters with authority to do a work elsewhere. And so we're going to start right here on this campus. We have a great adventure ahead of us with the invitation of OUI coming up here. But there's a lot of space up here that God wants to use because he's given it to us. And one of the things that I want to see and experience, and Pastor Mike wants to see and experience, is that the sons and daughters of God know who they are and will bring heaven to earth the way we were called to do that. And so tonight we're going to walk through this place and we're going to declare, Lord, it's open. Show us. And he'll be able to show us because the trauma of the past isn't before us. I just declare over this building right now that the trauma of the past is no longer before us. I declare over you who have been part of Valley Christian from day one to the last few years, the trauma of the past, the empty seats, the low attendance, the uncertainty of financial gain and the tithes and the offerings, that trauma of the past is no longer before you. It is no longer before us. And we just thank you, Father. Amen? Amen. Now here's the thing. Because there is a little bit of a weightiness that comes with this of like, oh my gosh, for some of you, there is so much. You know, where do I begin? Just walk through the simple process that we just did. Take a moment with the Lord tomorrow morning and just say, Lord, Let's address this again. Connect with somebody. For others of you, you're looking around just going, it's about time. Let's get the body of Christ healthy and whole and moving forward. And I would encourage you to stay in that posture of calling us out, calling others out. And so we're going to pray for communion, and I want to invite the worship team to come up. Because what communion does in these moments like this is it allows us to take this heaviness and the sense of anticipated, expectant joy of freedom and just put it back before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you again. Remind me again. Remind me again. Let the beauty of the bread and the juice, which represents the body and the blood, speak into my life. Let it resound and resonate the way it's supposed to. And as the worship team comes up, and I want to invite the ushers to come on forward, and we're going to pass this out. I want to encourage you that the things that have been brought to mind didn't happen in a day. Didn't happen probably just in one moment. And so giving yourself some grace and allowing with patience the Lord to go and say, let's deal with all of it. Yeah, go ahead and grab it, guys. Thank you. So be patient with yourself. Lighten up a little bit. Look into the mirror and go, you know what, Lord, thank you. But I'm more like you today than I was yesterday. And I'm going to be more like you tomorrow than I am today.